What happened there?
With you, we had 2 weeks where we had
some major difficulties with the computer at the motherboard. But it's nice to be back here, and an awful lot of stuff to go over. And I know Dr. Chris is chomping at the bit to get on about his prediction. But let's call Armstead and get him on, because you were talking about earlier. There's a big MMA fight tonight, and we'll get him on to. You guys can go over with that.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Hello. Doing all right. How you doing?
Yeah, we're on here. Good.
All right, excellent.
Yeah, we're on with it's you, Zito, and I at this point, and Dr. Chris will be joining us in a little bit.
How's it going, Armstead?
I'm doing all right, man. Just watching the UFC Philadelphia right now.
Oh, okay, the prelims.
Yeah, we just had the first fight of the main card. Between Sadiq Yusuf and Shaymon Moraes. They just went the distance, so we'll see. It looks like I think Yusuf might pull this one out. He had a couple of heavy right hands at the end of the third round, but it's a very even fight. I could see it going either way, especially when you take things to the judges. So you hope to keep it out of their hands, but we'll see what happens.
Right. Do you have a outlet? Do you have a? Can you tell the people where they can find that at?
Yeah, the current ESPN, the current card is on ESPN on the regular channel. So ESPN is trying to show at least once a month a free fight card that you don't need to have ESPN Plus or the pay-per-views on. But ESPN is definitely moving to take over the world of mixed martial arts, because they've also just signed a deal with the World Series. I'm sorry, with the National Pro Fighters League. And they've also got a deal going on with UFC, so it looks like they're truly trying to be the main voice of MMA, especially in the United States. So yeah, check it out on ESPN right now. Live card, the main card started at 7, which is a good, nice early fight card, because normally these cards are starting at 9 or 10. So it's nice to be able to get into MMA, but I haven't stayed up until 1-2 a.m.
Absolutely.
So we got Yusuf actually pulled this one out with a good decision. The next card, this card is actually more of a warm-up card, I'd say, to see what the next big card coming up is, because, you know, you got some ranked opponents, basically the last four, but nobody in the top five, really. So it's kind of seeing who's next in line for the next round of championship bouts go underway.
Yeah, more matchmaking than more level getting to matchmaking.
Right.
What do you think about the main card tonight? My brother and I were talking about this all week.
Yeah, the Carolina Kovalevich Michelle Waterson fight is going to be interesting. Michelle Waterson is one of the most technical fighters in women's MMA, especially with her kicks and her ability to control her balance. But she's small. I mean, she really is an atomweight. She probably should be fighting at 105. She's probably one of the few girls who's fighting at 115 that doesn't have to cut much weight. But I feel like she's such a technical fighter that she'll just point fight her way to a victory as long as she can keep her distance and use her, because she's definitely a superior striker to Kovalevich, who's had a good career, but I don't think she's at the level of Michelle Waterson. Once they, you know, especially outside of the clinch and outside of the any sort of ground game, the Josh Emmett Michael Johnson fight—they're just gonna go in there swinging. I mean, those guys are both—they both have real heavy hands, and they are not—they put their face in it, man. They'll take a point. I know Josh Emmett's probably particularly hungry after his last bout. How the Jeremy Stephens fight, where, you know, Jeremy Stephens may have hit him with an illegal shot, and there was definitely there was some disagreement on the outcome of that fight. Yeah. So I can see him coming in there going, I got to get a win, because, you know, he's 2-2 in his last four fights. But the last fight against Jeremy Stephens, I'm not saying he would have won that fight, but he was definitely in it before he took that bad shot.
Hey guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris also.
Hey, Dr. Chris.
How are you, guys?
Chris.
How you doing?
We're doing
great.
Good.
I'm listening to your MMA, but I'm trying to figure out which woman you're talking about.
Michelle Waterson, they call her the Karate Hottie.
Karate Hottie.
Yeah. Once you know who she is, you can't miss her. She's she's definitely definitely one of the more popular fighters. She's been around for a while. She's had a long career. Yeah, she's got 22 MMA fights. But I believe she's done a fair bit of kickboxing in her day as well. It's not public what her kickboxing record was, because I'm sure a lot of these were smaller regional promotions. But she's fought all the top girls in the strawweight division. There's not a lot of power going on in that division too. It's mostly going to be a lot of submissions or decision wins. Simply because, when you weigh 105 or 115, you can be. It's much harder to get a lot of power behind those shots. But it'll be. I think it should be an entertaining fight.
I have two questions. Armstead, what do you think about the Edson Barbosa Justin Gaethje fight?
I feel like Justin Gaethje is going to win simply because. He's just so tough, and he can really, really take a lot. And I feel like if Barbosa doesn't get kind of an earlier finish, I could see him starting to get a little I feel like he gets frustrated sometimes when he's landing shots and he's not getting the knockouts. And he starts to do some pretty flashy Muay Thai and a lot of wheel kicks. Because, he did have that amazing wheel kick. But, I just don't know. I just don't know if he's gonna pull this one out. And if Gaethje can just hang around and just keep and just bang with him as they get into the later rounds, I could see Gaethje just like imposing his will on him. And Gaethje's also a wrestler, and he doesn't really use his wrestling as much as you would expect him to being a pro MMA fighter. But the guy just I feel like if he gets in trouble, he knows he can always go to the wrestling, which he might actually do today. He's actually talked recently about how his style of fighting in his pro career is not probably the safest when you think about it, because he puts his face in there, puts his chin in there, and he's got a loyal following. I mean, I love watching his fights. They're some of the most entertaining fights you are ever going to see is a Justin Gaethje fight. If you are new to MMA and you're not sure what to check out, go watch some of his past fights because they are exciting. And he is, the guy's made of bricks, man. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. And the way he handled James Vick when James Vick was really basically saying that Gaethje had no shot, and he humbled him in the first round with a knockout, right? Just pummeled him right in the face. And so I think this is going to be an exciting fight. I think these aren't two of the upper echelon of the lightweight division, but that lightweight division is so stacked from 1 to 15 as far as the ranked opponents go that this is going to be a very, very, very entertaining fight. If it's not, I'm going to be surprised. So far this card has been pretty, I don't want to say dull, but there's only been one finish out of the early prelims and the preliminary card. Everything has been a decision. So, I could see them going, we need to get some fireworks here. And I could see Gaethje saying, I'm going to throw my hands and just try to have some fun out there. Because he loves it. I mean, the guy loves it. The guy's a barbarian. What do you think?
I tend to agree with you that if Gaethje doesn't if Barbosa doesn't get him early, then Gaethje's work rate. It's just Gaethje's work rate. The guy keeps coming. But Barbosa, one thing, he does have the medicine to slow Gaethje down a bit. And that is exactly those spinning wheel kicks. You take a couple of those to the body, you're not really going to be inclined to keep that. As tough as Gaethje is, he's human. He's human.
Yep.
So, and a guy who keeps coming like that, he's get him to the body. So,
I can see Gaethje. Yeah, I can see Barbosa hitting him with some of those back kicks with the heel right to the solar plexus, and that could really slow him down. I mean, I could see that too. I could definitely see that because that kick hurts, man. It doesn't make a lot of noise. It doesn't smack really good, and your knee's usually bent when you connect. But you hit that heel right in that lower abdomen or right in that side, right that side oblique, man. That freezes people. It just freezes them. So,
Exactly, especially right before maximum extension. You go right through it.
Yep. So, you know, and nobody can take that. I mean, it doesn't matter how tough you are. You get hit with two of those, you're right. You're on your knees after that, and they're coming in with heavy hands. So, yeah, I can see that too. I mean, this was definitely a push card where you're going, I don't think I'm going to bet on this one. I think I'm just going to wait and see. Just going to wait. Because Barbosa's had a bit of a resurgence too, because he kind of fell off for a little bit. And,
yes, he did.
You know, he was losing some fights. You know, he got basically just manhandled by Khabib. And the Kevin Lee fight was, I don't know. I mean, that one was kind of sketchy. But he'd been, you know, up and down a little bit after having a great start to his career. But, you know, he's consistent. He has his style. He has his coaching. He has his, you know, he has his things that he does really, 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 really well, especially in the realm of Muay Thai. So I like the guy a lot. I love watching him fight. So this is just going to be one I'm just going to sit back and smile. I mean, the guy's leg kicks. I mean, he can knock you out with a leg kick. So.
yeah, absolutely. And I have a question for Dr. Chris, if you don't mind. I want to switch it over. Dr. Chris?
Yo, I'm listening.
All right. I have a question for you. I just want to switch it back over to boxing real quick. What do you think about the Mikey Garcia-Errol Spence fight?
Well, it turned out exactly like I called it. The guy was too big, too strong, too fast, and younger. And he had more stamina. He could fight longer. I said to you guys heard me. I said, Mikey Garcia is going to take a 2x4 and hit his manager on the side of the head with it. For making that match. You know what I mean? Wake that guy up a little bit. Throw him the hell in there. Let him get beat up. See how he feels. But I think it was a mismatch. Mikey Garcia is not a big, strong welterweight. He's not, you know, he's just a slightly overblown 140-pounder. That's not enough against a guy like Spence. That kid can box, and he's got stamina, and he's just as effective in the 11th round as he is in the first. And he wants to go after you. I mean, he makes you fight. And Garcia, there was just no way he could overcome reach, youth, size, and strength. I mean, Christ, the only guy I've ever seen in my lifetime do it is Manny Pacquiao. It must be, he's got something nobody else has. But Garcia doesn't have that. He showed that he was just a 140-pounder stepping up in class that shouldn't have, that's all. The other guys have made a mistake. They went for the money. And then, you know, now the question is, what's left for Garcia? What's he do now? You know? He's got a loss. What's he going to do? Is he going to come back to 140? I don't know. I think he knows he can't fight at 47.
No.
What do you guys think?
Errol Spence cut to get to welterweight, too. Didn't he? Isn't he like a 154 or 160?
He will eventually move up to that. Someday he's going to move up to that. But he's got enough room to carry. But then again, you know, if he goes to 54, you know, he's fighting some bull mooses. That one guy, Horn, looks like a light heavy. And the Charlo brothers, one of them's real big. I'll tell you, when you move up 6 or 8 pounds in that division, that's a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. So Spence, you know, he'd be a lot of his skills would be nullified by a bigger guy. You know, but I think Mikey Garcia should have stayed where he was, made plenty of money, had a great career, then retired. These guys, down through history, anybody that tried to move up a division always lost. Most of the time. Willie Pep got his first loss after 60 wins when he tried to beat the lightweight, Lou Ambers. Lou Ambers had an iron chin, an iron body, and Pep could hit him all night, and the guy wouldn't even blink. So he lost. You know, Sugar Ray stayed a welterweight for years. He didn't want to move up to the middleweights. He had 69 wins in a row, Sugar Ray. And he didn't want to move up to that middleweight division until he had to, until he grew into it. So I think it was just a bad mistake, and I think it hurt his career. The bubble's been broken, you know, and I think nobody's going to fear Mikey Garcia. anymore. They're going to want to try him. So we'll see. I mean, he's got some money to be made, but you know, I just
he's on the wrong side of 30 too.
Yeah, yeah. And then Spence brought Pacquiao in. He brought him into the ring, and that's who he wants to fight. But he might even be a little too young and strong for Pacquiao. Except Pacquiao is fast. But how many years can Pacquiao keep fighting at this level? I mean, he's a small guy to be fighting 47. I don't know how he does it. He's a freak of nature, that guy. You know? So
Chris, let me ask you something, Chris. This week there was something in the trades that I've got to get a hold of Dan Birmingham tomorrow. I'm going to see him. There's the trade talk now is Pacquiao versus our friend Keith Thurman. What's your thoughts on that one? I'm going to ask all of you, but let's start with Chris.
Well, you know what? I don't know if Pacquiao got the guns anymore to stay in there with Keith Thurman. Keith's not going to have to run. He's not going to have to run backwards and try to box. I think he can stay there and pick his shots. I think since he got that good right hand, Pacquiao can be hit with straight right hands. He's one guy. That's the only punch you can hit him with a good right hand. And I think Keith could beat him. And it would take a hell of a performance by Pacquiao to beat Keith Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
He's strong. You know, Keith is strong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's strong and he's powerful. There's no reason for him to back up at all. I mean, he should just keep moving forward and try to blow Manny right the hell out of there. He's got 12 rounds to try it. And I think over 12 rounds, he could do it. I mean, I don't see how Pacquiao can go on forever. He's not immortal. You know, he's got one of these nights it's going to fall apart. He's going to catch. If you remember when Pacquiao got knocked out by one good straight hard right hand, how he comes in so fast, got knocked colder than hell. Well, that's what Keith could do to him. You know, and he'd have a hard time. I think he'd have a hard time outboxing Keith. Keith has the height, a little bit of the height, some reach, definitely has the strength, and he's got youth on his side. And I think he's either going to fight Keith or he's going to fight Spence, one or the other. I mean, that's a nice choice. Both of them going to be big paydays. Whoever Keith fights is going to have a big payday. Sure. I think Porter's out of the picture in that weight class. He doesn't excite anybody anymore.
Yeah, with his loss last week, he's not going to. Yeah, he looked pretty poor on his last outing. Zito, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to start from the last thing he said. Porter, I thought he lost by two rounds. I thought that I wouldn't have been mad with a draw. What I think is that Porter, he's a guy to where nobody really wants to see Porter like that. He has a style and everything, but anybody who sees Porter knows that it's going to be a night of constant bombardment of work. And I mean bombardment, just because that is what Porter does, except for in his last fight against Ugas. With that said, there were factors that Ugas had that that Ty and I said before they had the fight. Ugas could do some of what Kell Brook could do. Ugas is strong. You're not just gonna push Kell Brook. I mean, not Kell Brook. You're not just gonna push Ugas back to the ropes and try that.
Right.
Porter tried it, and Ugas he kind of pushed off and kind of sidestepped him and countered. And after that, you know, Porter, you know, he did that. With that being said, Porter's a guy that people kind of want to stay away from. In the same sort of way that people want to stay away from Spence, to a certain extent. They're not the money guy. So, I mean, really dealing with that, Keith is more of the money guy than those two. Keith is the leading contender to fight Pacquiao at this very moment, outside of Floyd for any possible chance. But as far as that goes, now, when you're going to who are you talking about? Oh, when you're talking about not Errol Spence, Mike. Oh, the style-wise between Keith and Pacquiao, I like Keith at this moment. Pacquiao showed me a little too much slippage in a Broner fight, where when Broner moved his slow feet back, Pacquiao kind of had to run. Instead of shuffling his feet as fast as he used to be, he could just shuffle straight across the ring just as fast. He kind of had to run one foot after the other. And his fist looked slower, his feet looked slower. We saw it in the Jeff Horn fight. We saw a resurgence in the Matisse fight, but I think it was his opponent also, as was, I think, his Broner. When those two guys are, they're good, but they're not live guys. They're not guys who are going to, stay on. You have to work. You can kind of work at your own pace. With Thurman, Pacquiao is going to be able to dictate the ring. But at this stage, he's going to have an awful, awful hard time getting at Keith. Just off of that. Keith is quicker than Pacquiao right now, hand and foot. He's quicker. He is stronger. Keith, at this very moment, has quicker instincts. I'm going to say quicker instincts. What Pacquiao has going for him is it's inside fighting. And Pacquiao's not notorious for inside fighting lately. Early in his career, Pacquiao will get in there and mix it up with you. But lately, as he moved up, he's been, in and out kind of guy, explosion. He doesn't have that anymore. Against Keith, he might want to revert back to the old way of fighting. Pacquiao has experience. He has a wealth of experience. Those two keys right there, could give Keith trouble, if not make him lose. One thing I'm going to say, as good as Keith is, he doesn't want it on the inside. I'm not saying he doesn't want it. He's comfortable not being on the inside. He's comfortable in control. He's comfortable. And if he has his distance, if he's able to move and hit you in a way he doesn't want to hit you and not be hit, which that is exactly what boxing is, the art of hitting and not being hit, then he's cool. But it's going to come a time when you're going to have to fight, dig down and to fight. And certain guys are going to make you do that more than others. Pacquiao's capable. I don't know at this stage if he's capable enough, but he's capable.
Understood.
Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got booted out, but I was just listening in the background. I missed the last thing you guys were talking about, but sounds like you were talking about matches up with Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, we're still talking about Manny Pacquiao and Keith Thurman.
Yeah, I worry about Pacquiao also because he has been in a lot of battles, and I mean, 70 fights is a lot of fights. Fighting after 40 is there's very, very few Bernard Hopkins out there. So, and I'm looking, and I just looked up, he's playing basketball in the Philippines and everything too. So, you're a politician now. You did your little singing on the YouTube career. You're playing basketball as a 5'5" point guard, and you're still trying to box top boxers. I don't know, man. I just you saw recently with some of the, at least with the main sport that I'm following with MMA, how when you see guys really start to put their hands in a lot of other endeavors, their focus may wane a little bit, especially as they get older in the years and they start thinking about what they're going to do after they're done fighting. So, you hope that he doesn't make a mistake and go out there and as you said, like take a nice straight right to the face. And get slept again. That's just. I mean, no matter how experienced you are, and how tough you are, and how training you are, every punch to the face that puts you on your butt is going to take something out of you. So, it's just something to really think long and hard about. Is it worth it? I mean, you're never going to get Mayweather money again. I mean, do you need it? So I just think you got to think about the long term. But I'll never tell someone they shouldn't fight, though.
Yeah. Let me bring up another fight then. Sorry, again with Chris. Jesse Vargas against Humberto Soto. It's coming up on the 28th of April. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, Vargas doesn't excite me. I've never been a Vargas fan. His style's around. I mean, he's, in my book, he's not one of the top, the leading contenders in his division. I'm not thrilled with his abilities. And the other guy, Soto, I don't know. I don't know about him either. I'm not sure. I've only seen him a couple of times, really. Effective, you know. I mean, how long has he been on top of the list for championship fights, Soto? How long has he been around?
Soto started fighting
time.
Back in, like what, 97,
long
I think, 98? Yeah, I looked
time.
Him up right now. Yeah, he's been fighting
for
20
okay,
years.
All right. Okay,
years.
You guys. Well, he's too old now, then. For that division.
That's a lot of fighting, man. It's a lot of fighting.
That's a speed division. That division, you lose a tenth of a second, you move back 10 spots. And I'm not a Vargas fan. I'm just not a Vargas fan. Never was. And I'm not thrilled to see that. I can't wait to see the Irish heavyweight fight our American heavyweight. I want to see that again. There's too many good fights out there. They're trying to make up these filler fights. You know, fill in with this, fill in with that, and they're not really great fights. Jesse Vargas is not my favorite fighter. Let's put it that way.
They keep trying to build Jesse up.
Yeah, I don't think much of him. I saw a young guy fighting last week. His name was Ward. He fought on the undercard of the Spence. Great little fighter. Little 126 pounder, I guess. Great little fighter. He beat a much bigger man than Mexican. And really, I think he shut him out almost. Dumped him on his butt a couple of times. I've seen some good colorful fighters out there. And, you know, it's time to move on sometimes. Get rid of these guys that have been around. They made their, you know, it's time to step aside, guys. If you're not going anywhere, I don't know why the hell you want to stay in that game. And Vargas is one of those guys. He's going to make a few bucks here and there, but I don't think he'll ever be champion. That's my opinion. And Soto, he's the one.
They keep trying to resurface Vargas and Soto. What I like is that Soto, he's getting this opportunity. Even at this age, he just fought Brandon Rios and won a decision against him. Soto is not a natural welterweight. He's not a natural welterweight. He, at this stage, he's a natural welterweight, but he's really hasn't fought at welterweight throughout his whole career. So, and Vargas is talking about he potentially can fight at 154. I have an early prediction for that fight. I agree with everything Dr. Chris said. I have an early prediction for that fight, then, that it'll be a draw. As simple as that. The fight is going to be a draw. Soto, by all case scenarios, should be knocked out within four. He's an older, smaller guy, and Vargas is a bigger, longer guy. But I predict a draw. Just because Vargas has the propensity to fight down to his competition every time. Every time. If he doesn't lay something on you, unless you're a level above Tim Bradley and Pacquiao, or else unless he could lay something on you or catch a chin side of my leg, then Jesse Vargas is going to fight down to your competition, to your level of competition. Simple as that. And I predict the draw.
Marcet?
I'm unfamiliar with both of these fighters beyond what I've read about them. So, but you're talking about fighters who fight down to their competition. And the, you know, in looking at Jesse Vargas' record, and you're seeing his last two fights were also draws, and one was against Adrian Broner, who I am relatively familiar with. So, you know, if Humberto Soto is a seasoned guy who's been fighting for as low as what, bantamweight, he could definitely figure out how to hang with the bigger guys, especially one that isn't going to really have the instinct to just kind of go in there and say, let me just finish this dude as quickly as possible.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if anybody had a chance to see the fight this afternoon, but David Price came back in the ring against Cassius Ali, and he was ahead four rounds out of five, and in the fifth round, he got kind of he got his head shaken a couple times, and the next thing you know, he started pounding back, and Ali didn't know what to do, so he tackled him, put him down on the canvas,
this, yeah.
and then bit his stomach.
What? Look, man, it looked like a double leg belly to belly suplex takedown the way he grabbed him. I mean, I wasn't sure. I was watching boxing when I saw the highlights. I was like, what? What if this came up on my Twitter feed? And I went back and I watched it, and I saw, I mean, it wasn't a boxing tie-up to keep him getting hit. He literally grabbed him, did a chest-to-chest, and picked up and slammed him on the ground. And he could have easily, you know, moved the full mount and tried to get him in an arm bar the way he had him on the ground. But it was the weirdest thing. And to see the way he was angling his head, you know, you just like, what in the world is he doing? And you see him actually, he's literally like chewing on the guy's abdomen. It is the wildest thing I've ever seen in boxing. It made absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah.
What did he do to his abdomen? He hit him in his abdomen?
No, he was biting him.
He hit him in his abdomen.
Yeah, while they were on the ground.
It's softer. It's harder to bite a guy in the head.
My
better God. But you know, you go for the ear and the abdomen, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. That's funny.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And you saw after in Ali, when he was walking away, Cash Ali, he didn't really protest or try to lay blame on somebody else again. He just turned around and walked away.
Wow.
Like,
he knew how he wanted to
know.
End the fight. He knew exactly how he wanted to end the fight.
Wow. So, yeah, and Ali had already been docked already. He'd had a couple of rabbit punches in the back of the head. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he was fighting a great fight, but, man, he just got tired or just said, look, I'm just going to chew on him so I can go home.
Goodness.
We had another controversial thing after the Pulev fight. It looks like Pulev kissed the reporter,
mm-hmm.
and now she's causing all kinds of problems for the poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said she wanted it. Well, Joe Biden's got the same problem with the lady out in Vegas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's he's in a lose-lose situation there. The best thing he can do right now is to just, you know, I lost my head, just finish the fight, I'm sorry, and here's a check. And hope it goes away.
Yep, you want film. You want film, buddy. Everybody saw it.
Yep.
Who did the fat guy kick? He kicked a woman?
No, he kissed her.
Yeah, he kissed the reporter.
Yep. Just grabbed her face and kissed her.
Yeah, but she had interviewed him. I think it said she had interviewed him before the fight already.
Yeah.
So I guess he felt a little bit more comfortable with her than if he didn't know who it was, but... But he said they're friends but he probably just thought that they were cool or something, but yeah, that's just not good. That's not good.
The big fat Polish guy's a Romeo.
Yeah.
Besides everything else.
This is his grabber kisser.
Yeah, and it was a relatively aggressive grab too. He had his hand on her chin. You know, he was going in.
Yeah.
He didn't even get a peck on the cheek.
He got a face.
Well, he's not running. He's not running for office. He don't give a damn. You know, all he cares.
He needs his money.
You know?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Ain't going to lose much. That'll be swept under the table. That guy is a marvel. When I look at him, he's fat, out of shape, you know. But he does have a good chin. He gets hit.
Yeah.
And it looks like it, and he doesn't bruise. You know,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't bruise. He gets hit in the face pretty damn hard. And he doesn't bruise. And I'm thinking, would this guy be better off if he was in shape, or is he better off the way he is? I don't know. I don't know.
You see that a lot. You see that a lot in with heavyweight fighters in MMA, where some of them come in and you're looking at them going, man, you don't even look like a professional athlete, man. You know, you got your Ben Askren, who's kind of dad bob. Yeah, Roy Nelson should be fighting at 185, and he's weighing in at 260. You know, but there was a fight, I think it was last weekend or 2 weeks ago, where there's a guy going by Big Pretty, and he comes out there, and he is all butt and stomach. That's all he is. And so he ends up, he loses the fight, and instead of being called Big Pretty, they called him, the guy who beat him called him Big, and word that rhymes with pretty that starts with a T.
But women part. Cool.
Yeah, but you look at him and you're like, how is this guy 10-1 as a pro fighter when, you know, he looks like he can't walk down the street without losing his breath? So it is funny. You kind of wonder that, but maybe keeping that extra padding on there can help, you know, withstand the blows a little bit better. I've always wondered that, though.
Well, the fat guy is a pleasure to watch. I like to watch him. I get a kick out of him. He's so damn unique, you know? I'm wondering, how the hell can he go in the gym and not take some of that lard off? You know what I mean? Make him do some sit-ups. How the hell do you train a guy like that? I mean, he fails the pinch test, you know?
Right. But how could you expect to fight even 3 5-minute rounds with carrying that kind of extra weight? You know, it's not in your build. Especially you're looking at Roy Nelson. He's 6 feet tall. You know, he's not the tallest guy in the world. And he doesn't have big arms. He doesn't have big old calves. His weight distribution is not very even. It's basically one spot in his body. And you got to wonder, after about 7 minutes, is he going to be done?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, one thing I'm going to say is... You know, I love the country too.
I love
the country.
I love that guy.
One thing I'm going to say is that I remember when James Toney, and we all know how his shape became when he moved kind of out of middleweight. But I remember what he said. And he was like, I don't do any running. I don't do any running. I fight all day long. I spar all day long. And you could see that in the way he fought. And I think a lot of it has to do with just total relaxation. Relaxation. Now, James Toney, he didn't work. Now, he didn't work for 3 minutes of a round.
Mm-hmm.
But, as far as defense, he could take a shot, and he really was hard to hit. And he could counter. So, in that aspect, he could slow you down. Like, as far as you're trying to amp up the work rate, now you're catching hard counters. You're going to slow down. That'll slow you down. So, and he had his own pace with it, even with his belly and being heavier. Even when he moved to heavyweight, but he just fought the same way. He always fought at his own pace. Man, that is not recommended for most, if not all, other fighters.
Right,
just because, that's unique to that individual for the most part. Jared Miller, Big Baby, I watched him fight a 12-round fight, well, not a 12, a 10-round fight, working for 3 minutes. Not the hardest work, even for his weight, but just constant work, constant moving.
Mm-hmm.
His head is, you know, his head movement, not his feet, but his head constantly moving his fist. So, you know, I can't really call it for the shape all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, some guys, they maybe could shed the pounds, and
not have the same work rate. I mean, have the same exact kind of work rate, like Chris Arreola to a certain extent. You know, he shed all those pounds, and he's the same fighter.
Right.
So, I mean,
I completely agree with you, though, because I didn't really think about it, but, like, a lot of these guys, their fight IQ gets so high that they know how to – they know when they can just control the ring and take their level down, drop their heart rate a little bit, make sure they keep their breathing consistent and not burn through, not burn through a lot. I mean, I'm sure that's probably a little bit easier to do in boxing simply because you're not concerned with being taken to the ground. But you even see in MMA when guys get taken down and they're like, okay, well, they're in their comfort zone and they're laying on their back just making sure they're not getting hit, making sure they're not putting themselves in any danger of getting submitted. But you can see their face. You see some of these guys get taken down, and they're looking at their corner, and just getting coaching at the time. Meanwhile, there's another guy trying to drop
out.
But they're just so comfortable that they're not even breathing. They're breathing out of their nose. They're just looking at the corner. So that's definitely having that fight IQ is definitely important to maintaining that win. I don't know. I think it's amazing that the way some of these guys can do it because, you've even seen guys who come out there who are in MMA as some of the real jacked guys who are real muscular, but they're cutting 20 pounds before the fight, and then you see them after two or three after let's say it's a 5-round fight too, dead. And you see Yoel Romero tapping, and you see him walking around. And that guy has one of the best physiques you've ever seen in professional sports. And you see him in the third round, and he's struggling. You know, he's got his mouth open. He's just sucking in wind because you're carrying a lot of muscle, but, your wind just may not be there. So because again, you're probably cutting too much weight, or you've been hitting the weight so hard, but you're not doing the type of cardio that will keep you going in the ring. So, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
There's so much
and I'm
to it.
Step,
so much to
I'm
it.
Go a step, exactly. I'm going to go a step further with Yoel Romero, with a lot of other guys, a round and a half. By the first fuselage in the second round, after that first fuselage in the second round, hands are down, mouth's open, then all of a sudden the technique is just gone. I mean, it's just, that everything's kind of getting sloppy. You have a lot of guys like that who are one and a half round fighters effectively if they, against guys they can't exactly pace themselves against or they can't control. Now, you're fighting a certain level. You're fighting a lower level guy. No disrespect to anybody. But if you're fighting a lower level guy, you can look any way on him. You can look any way on him. You can do three rounds on him feeling good. It's when you step up the competition, when somebody's more like you, more along the lines of your competition, your level. Those things matter. Now, everything matters. Every little thing matters. So, I mean, as you said, the fight IQ. When have you ever saw a panic Anderson Silva?
Never. I've seen at least 25 Anderson Silva fights, and I've never, even when he loses, I've never seen him look concerned, ever. It's amazing.
One time.
You're right. It's amazing. So
One time. And I hate to even kind of chuckle at this, but one time I saw him look majorly panicked. And that was when his foot was hanging on by only skin.
Oh, yeah. But the fight was already over by then.
That was the only time I saw
him.
That is true.
That was, I've stricken that from my memory.
He panicked. I yelled. I didn't believe what I was saying.
I didn't either. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, that thing. Oh, you gave me. I got nausea just thinking about that right now. But even the Chael. But remember the Chael fight when he was getting owned for four
Taking
and a half
down.
Rounds, but he still didn't look worried. He's like, I'm gonna find my opening. And I'm gonna win the fight. And boom, he saw it, and you just saw him slip his leg up, got him in the triangle. He blocked the triangle, but his arm was out. Boom, armbarred him. Boom, end of the fight. I mean, it was just bam, bam, bam. So,
Remember the Dan Henderson fight? Remember
which
the
one?
Dan Henderson fight? The Dan Henderson fight.
Yeah,
Henderson.
Absolutely. Dan Henderson's got cannonballs for hands.
Oh, that's Ms. Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're getting close here, but I want to get everybody's idea on Chris, let's start with you on Canelo Alvarez versus Danny Jacobs, May 4th.
Well, I'm going to give Jacobs a good chance in that fight. Jacobs is a better boxer, in my opinion. He moves around the ring. He knows how to get, and he's a bigger guy. He's taller, bigger, and he can box. He's going to give Canelo Alvarez all he wants. I don't think Alvarez can overpower the guy. I'm becoming fond of Jacobs. In the beginning, I didn't care for him, but after I saw him fight a couple of really key fights, he's better than I thought he was. And he wants it bad. He's hungry. And Canelo is a short middleweight. I think Jacob's probably going to have 3 inches in height on him, probably at least, and the reach. And I think he can give Canelo one hell of an evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
okay,
we'll see.
Lee, what's your thoughts?
I agree with Dr. Chris that Jacobs is difficult. He presents a difficult style matchup for Canelo. I thought Jacobs was done after the correct Saluki fight because I didn't like the way he looked. It looked like he was fading away and with his career. He looked like a very, very better research fight.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay. What do you
and,
think?
Okay.
Go ahead, Z.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was just saying that I think is Canelo – Danny Jacobs, he tends to fight scared, meaning scared. He did that against the Love and to survive. And he didn't want to get in pocket range with the Love, in a certain range with the Love. Canelo is better at that range than Golovkin. The problem with that is Canelo doesn't have Golovkin's jab. The problem with that is Canelo has everything else. Canelo's quicker than Danny Jacobs, quicker of thought. Danny Jacobs is a better range boxer. He's a range boxer. He's a better range boxer, distance boxer. Canelo's a better overall boxer. I have to give the edge to Canelo because I don't see Danny Jacobs really putting everything he has to do into winning the rounds without putting himself in danger. That I just see Danny not putting everything out there. I saw that before.
Mm-hmm.
Armstead?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think that from my limited familiarity with Danny Jacobs, he's going to have to try to point fight him from a distance and use the reach advantage, use the height advantage. But I think Canelo's used to fighting taller guys because Canelo's not the tallest dude. And so if anybody's going to know how to just kind of get under his punches and get in with some body shots, it's going to be Canelo. So, and I am familiar with that Triple G fight, and I felt like he was fighting to get to the decision and as opposed to really, really trying to fight to win. But again, Canelo's also, you know, he's got a lot of fights and you could see, if they watch a lot of tape and see how he could use his advantages, how he could use his size to his advantage, you know, maybe he could squeak one out. But I think that Canelo is just an all-around better boxer and is probably not going to have too much trouble.
Okay.
And if you want to see the Karate Hottie, she's about to fight right now. So, on ESPN.
Hey, Karate Hot.
Sitting around. Yeah, should be a good fight. You want to catch a
– You want to give everybody that –
You're not used to –
You want to give everybody that channel that it's on again?
Yeah, it's on ESPN, just the regular the main channel ESPN. We got 3 fights left on the card, so you know, of course, tune in for some fireworks with Justin Gaethje versus Edson Barbosa. But also, there's a good women's strawweight fight if you're not too familiar with some of the women's MMA. The experience and the ring ability of them is increasing tremendously, especially in the past 5 years. So I'm a big fan. So I'm trying to just make sure I give them the support they deserve.
Mm-hmm. And what's the major bet tonight?
Justin Gaethje, Edson Barboza. That's more kind of like we were saying earlier, kind of like a title elimination fight. Who's going to be next in line at 155? So that's going to be, but that should be some fireworks in that fight.
Hey Frank, I forgot to mention when Jacobs can carry 175 pounds, he can carry 170. He's going to be the bigger man, and I think it's going to have an effect on Canelo in later rounds. He's going to be leaning on him, trying to push him around. I think that's going to, the later the fight goes, the better Jacobs can do. And I think that's going to make the difference. If there's going to be any difference, it's going to be because of the weight advantage he's going to have. Unless they sign early that he can only put on 10 pounds, but he could come in the ring at 175. He'd be fighting a light heavyweight. Mm-hmm. That's a lot for a guy at Canelo's height.
It is a rehydration clause in there. I'm not sure exactly how many pounds. I think it may be 10 pounds. But it is
10,
a rehydration clause in there.
Oh, okay. Probably 10.
Yeah,
at least
but that
10.
That cut can wear you out, man. The later rounds, that could also count against him if he's not – because if he has a rehydration clause, then he's not going to be able to get quite back what he's going to lose in that weight cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it'd be interesting for a good fight. It's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, that'll be a good fight.
Two good middleweights, yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're up against our clock here at the Homestead. I want to thank you again. We'll see you next week. And
yeah, thank you for having me.
You'll have a great report on tonight's MMA fights.
Absolutely.
Chris, we always appreciate your – and. Hope everything did your wife get back from Florida okay?
Yeah, everything's all right. I still got double vision, but I drove my car today. I learned how to look. You got to look straight down at the road. If you look out 75 yards, I see two cars coming. But if I look down 30 yards, I see the road. And I got to keep going. I can see out of the top. I'm learning how to drive with bad vision. So
there you go.
Look out, guys. Be careful when you come up here. Look out for Black Lincoln. Who the hell is that nut? Looks like he don't know what the hell he's doing. You're driving with one eye. I had a black patch. That's not a good sign. I took that the hell off. Looked like a pirate. And you know I can't see then. I can bluff it with two eyes. So we'll see what happens. I'm hanging in there, you know. All right, I'll see you guys next week.
Okay,
all
Chris,
right.
Take care.
Good.
All right,
take
care. Good luck
week.
To all of you. All right, bye now.
Do you want to lead us out?
Sure. I want to thank Armstead, most certainly. Dr. Chris.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
No problem. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob and Coach Mel. If anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Zeke. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Armstead. Thank you, Chris. We really appreciate your input on the shows. And our numbers have gone up exponentially just having you guys here every week. These shows are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please, please let them know that you know that they're these are very, very tough times of people in uniform, both domestically and foreign. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkep, Sergeant Thomas Banger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Timmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Wilmington Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department. Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department. Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff. Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond. Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio. Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, sometime we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, and the light and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. Good night, and God bless, and have a great week.
Shem alek ma yelama, shem ahezahir ma, son ashen evorat fed, hakuig again ma yelama.
Blog Talk Radio.